Well, good morning. Greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here and to worship the Lord with you all. You can read that. It says attitude or opportunity. And the question is, which is more important? Well, let's bow our heads for prayer and begin there. Thank you, God, for this day and for this opportunity that we have to be here and to look into your word. I pray, God, that we would be learning more and more about how your word applies to our life in very practical ways, how we live that out, how you want us to function, to look at life, to look at people, and how you want us to act and react, all of those things, God. I pray that we could grow in our understanding so that you could be equipping us more and more to be who you want us to be, to fill our roles and to do our work. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness, for the many ways that you provide for us. And I pray that we would hear your voice as you speak to us today and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's go to the book of Psalms and chapter 100 and begin there by reading that chapter. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. All right, let's go to chapter 107. And I want to read a couple of verses there as well. Psalm 107 and 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So as we think about the title here of attitude or opportunity, just consider for a minute how you feel sometimes entering into the house of the Lord. Just to kind of illustrate my title here a little bit, sometimes we come in and we're feeling good, and so it's easy to rejoice in the Lord. But sometimes we come in and, oh, we haven't had a good morning, and maybe it was our spouse or our children or our health or what have you, that we come in and it's a little harder to praise the Lord. And so we think, if I just had better circumstances or better opportunity, it'd be so much easier to have a better attitude. Well, is that where we find ourselves sometimes? Don't have a good attitude because things aren't going well. And so this morning I want to ask the question and then go in a specific direction with that. Which is more important, attitude or opportunity? Opportunity. Part of the definition of that is a combination of favorable circumstances, or as in a good chance, having a good chance. And so that's what opportunity means. So as we think about that attitude of praising the Lord, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We get into the New Testament, it talks about being thankful and praising God, but it often has other not-so-pleasant words mixed right in with the verses right there. So Colossians chapter 1, and let's go to verse 10 through 12. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That all sounds really good. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now that part doesn't sound so great. Patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So now there, it's talking about being thankful, even while there is a need for all patience and longsuffering. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And there, I'd like to read, let's begin in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There it's talking about being thankful and worshiping God. And it, in the middle of that, it talks about being forbearing and forgiving and putting on charity, which is love. And so he's surrounding the idea that life is full of things and people that are less than perfect, and it's a little hard to always be joyful about some of the circumstances. He's surrounding that now with telling us how to live and telling us how to be thankful and telling us something about what our minds are to be filled with. So there again, he's talking about being thankful in the midst of less than desirable circumstances. So if we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and beginning in verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now we balk at that verse sometimes because we seem to think that we have to give thanks for everything, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying in everything give thanks. Because there is something here that is going to be worked out of the will of God for your life in the situation. So verses that talk to us about being thankful in circumstances that we may not necessarily like. And so therefore the title of which is more important, attitude or opportunity. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Bob Goff. We have a couple of his books at our house, and we enjoy reading them. I think sometimes his name should be Bob Goof, but he's a little goofy, but he makes some really good points. And he talked about how there is a public place that he likes to go to, and there's a little island, and he enjoys going there, and he thinks of it as his own personal island. He says very few people come there, and he goes there because he likes to sit there to think and to write things. And very few people show up there. And his speculation is that a lot of people think that when they have time or a better opportunity or what have you, they will actually take the time to go there and enjoy the beauty and the benefits of the place. And he says most people don't need more opportunities. They need a better attitude. And I thought about it, and I thought, that is so true. We need to take the attitude of taking what we have and using it to create an opportunity rather than waiting for perfect opportunities to come along. In 1 John chapter 2, I'd like to go there and read several verses. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Specifically, writing here to fathers and to young men. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, says something like, rejoice, O young man, in your strength. It says, you're strong, be excited, and enjoy it. But know that someday God is going to call you into judgment for the things that you have done. Also, so there's a verse that talks about the joy of life, the energy of life, the ability to enjoy life, but also a recognition that God has expectations of young men. If we go to Titus chapter 2, there, pick out the verses here that speak to young women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So there, I've read the verses both about young women and young men. So I've been speaking the last who knows how long about our focus, our goals, the things that we take into our hearts and how that affects our lives. I think last time that I spoke, I talked about being a success. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to become? Who do you want to be known as? And looking into people in the Bible and some of the people who came from the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak, and God used them. Other people who were set up well but made huge mistakes, and they were still reconciled, and God still used them. And also, before that, I spoke about focusing on the goal by choosing the right master. And today, I want to get into even more practical things and talk to the young people especially about who do you want to be when you're married? Who do you want to be like? And Brother Henry talked about this a little while ago a little bit and talked about how the time to start being the person you want to be is right now. And I guess as I was been thinking about this message of the last several weeks, I didn't realize just how appropriate it probably is, even more so now. And so I want to look at some things, and some of it you can write it off as my opinion. I'm okay with that. I'm willing to have you do that. But let's just think about, oh, there's a lot of practical things we could think about how we look at life, and the view changes once you reach 50 years old or in that range. Your view of life and so many things, it just looks different than it does at 18 or 20 or 25. You begin to look at things differently. And I was at a funeral last Saturday of a man that I knew. I got to know him because of the place where he worked, and then also he was a customer of ours a few times, and maybe I talked about this a little bit last Sunday. But one of the reasons that I liked him so much was because of his attitude. Just a likable guy. He was kind, he was gentle, he was patient, and if we didn't have the lumber that he needed, he was usually perfectly willing to wait. And at his funeral, it was very obvious that people really liked him. The place was packed, there was some people standing. And up front, there was this little box. That was all that was left of him. And there are lots and lots of pictures put up on poster boards of this man's life and things he had done with his children and grandchildren. And so that's all that was left of his life, was the pictures, the memories, and the little box up front. And one day, that's going to be our thing, to be in a box, whether a big one or a small one. If time continues and life continues as we would expect, that's where we're all going to end up. And we're not here just to have a nice funeral at the end of this whole thing. And so what does it take to be that kind of person that is so much appreciated? Sunday afternoon, I went to a celebration of life for a man that I knew. I knew his brother more so than him, and so I went because I thought I'd get a chance to spend some time and visit with the brother that's still alive. And this family has almost zero faith, and it was very strange to go there. And I'm used to, when there is a death, I'm used to largely having the funeral and all of that centered around God, and God wasn't even there that I could tell. And it was just a bunch of, there were some young people there and they acted like they didn't want to be there, and there was a bunch of old people sitting around making sarcastic jokes about each other and ha 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 and laughing. It's really weird, not used to that. But there was the end of a life, and these people, their life wasn't centered around God. And so therefore, for someone like me, this is very odd. But in some way, the end of our life is going to be celebrated by the people who know us, be mourned, hopefully, and also celebrated, as they say, celebration of life. And so we are somewhere in between the beginning and the end of our life. And so what for you all who don't have half your life used up already, or three quarters of it, at least you would expect that you don't, who are you planning to be once you're grandpa? What are you planning to be like? Do you ever stop and think about who you're going to be when you're 50 or when you're Randy's age? Who are you going to be? And that's one of the things that I'd like for us to think about. And I got to admit, I didn't spend much time thinking about that when I was 20. I had some pretty definite ideas about how I was going to be different from my mom and dad or other old people that I knew. I wasn't going to be like them. And probably good that y'all don't know my mom and dad all that well, because you'd probably laugh when you think about how much I act like my dad. But that's just kind of the way it is. But do you have a plan for who you're going to be, what you're going to be like? And does that plan include working toward that goal, is what I'd like for us to think about. I realize that what I have here is kind of scattered. I've been thinking about it a lot, and somehow it didn't really congeal into as focused a thing as I would have liked, and I realize I'm going to run out of time, so I'll have to save some for next time, I guess. But in this room, I believe, there are two groups. You're either married or wanting to be married. And in the subgroup, there are those who deny it, and there are those who don't know it yet. But that's basically either you're married or you're wanting to be married. And I'll just put in a disclaimer that God doesn't have that for everybody. And so if you don't get married, you haven't failed in life, as long as you're following the Lord. So therefore, I think that I was speaking specifically to the guys, to the men, the young men. I think it's that way for girls too. I've never been a girl. I don't know what that's like. But I think most of them really would like to get married and have a family and grow up and, I mean, have a family and have and grow old and have grandchildren that love them. And of course you want to do that. Just not anytime real soon, I'm sure. But among the married people, there are basically two groups. And we could divide this up in some subgroups too. Everybody's holding their breath. Amongst the married people, there are two groups that are either you're walking in humble obedience to God, or you are secretly or openly wishing things were different. So I'm guessing that you fit into one of those two groups. Either you're humbly living out your life and obedient to God, or you're secretly or openly wishing things were different. Now, if you don't think you're fit, you're probably newly married, so that's okay. If you think life is just all exciting and fun, probably it's because you're newly married, but that's all right. We'll let you be that for now. We believe that the Bible teaches and what God wants is one man and one woman for life. And that knowledge needs to affect our outlook, our attitude, We believe that God desires, and he teaches in his word, that marriage is to be one man and one woman for life. And usually when we're young and we're getting married, we're fine with that. That seems easy. Why not? This person that's so wonderful and you love so much. But sometimes by the time you're 50, there are outlooks, attitudes, ambitions, health issues, and what have you that you didn't expect when you got married. And now you have all these things to deal with that you didn't expect. And what is the most important thing in that situation? Is it opportunity or is it attitude? Is it opportunity or is it attitude? And those who will find the most peace and joy and love in any of those situations are those who are willing to be humble and obey God. There was a story told of an old man who every day went to the nursing home to visit his wife. He would help her get dressed. He would help her get into her chair. He'd feed her breakfast. He'd clean her face. And was very kind, patient, and gentle. She didn't know who he was. But every day, he would go there. And he would help her. Someone said, "Why? What does it matter? What does it matter? She doesn't know who you are." And he said, "I know. I know." That is a good attitude. That is an attitude of humble obedience to God. Now, there are lots of us here in that 50-ish year old range, 45 to 65 or something in there. Bunch of us are in that age range, and I wonder what, maybe us guys should get together sometime and just talk about how life has turned out and how we're dealing with expectations that we had and realities that we are experiencing now. There's a whole bunch of you that are watching us and are probably thinking, "Why does he do that? I'm not going to be like that." Or, "I could do that so much better." Or, "I'm going to be better." So now's the time to start. If you actually think that, now's the time to start. And we can ask ourselves, am I who I thought it would be when I hit this age? Am I in the circumstances that I thought I would be experiencing? Is my relationship what I thought it would be? Am I defeated by lack of opportunity? Or do I have an attitude that brings opportunity within the circumstances? It's a big, huge difference. So attitude or opportunity is a big thing. Opportunity for your young people is all around you. Opportunity is all around you. Attitude, your attitude is affecting those opportunities. Now, when I talk about having a proper attitude instead of seeking opportunities, that doesn't mean that there aren't things that you can't change, especially when you're young, you're single, jobs, many, many circumstances that you can make choices to change. Now, assuming you're normal, and I think we're all pretty normal here, who do you want to be? Who do you think you will be when you're 50? Or what do you think you'll be like when you're 50 years old? Assuming you want to get married and have a family. What do you want to be? And the encouragement is to start now. Well, a young lady wants a man who is handsome and strong. Although, for a godly young lady, that's probably at the far end of the list. If God wants to throw that in for a bonus, that'd be great. But a young lady, godly young lady, is looking for a godly man who is zealous, who is trustworthy, who is faithful, who is kind, loving, caring, who is patient, and can listen well. And we could make that list longer, lots of things. A young man is looking for a wife that's nice to look at. But then again, that's not the most important part. Godly is more important, that she is kind. And one of the high standards that a young man would really like is that verse in Proverbs that says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. A young man wants a wife that is neat, clean, diligent, who sees, recognizes, and fills her role as a keeper of the house, a wife, and a mother. And there again, we could expand on that list a lot. So, young men, we all, I'm going to include myself as a young man here, just kind of overlook the gray hair. We like exciting, don't we? We like exciting. Energy, excitement, fun, those kind of things we like. But when the exciting wears off, are you left? Will you be left with the godly companion you want? There are many people who live years of regret because they let excitement cloud their eyes. And society has an easy answer. God has a different answer. Those verses about being thankful and rejoicing in the midst of having to be forbearing and patient really speak into those things. Now, young ladies, here are some suggestions. So, a few of you need to make a checklist here. But actually, I'm making these things. Guys, you need to listen in because this is actually reverse teaching. If you know what that is, while I'm telling these girls what to look for, I want you to be paying attention because these are the things that you need to work on. So, young ladies, here are some things to consider. How does a young man treat or talk about his mom? It's a huge thing. It will tell you a lot about what kind of a young man this is and what you can expect, how you can expect to be treated. Now, let me put in a disclaimer again. God can fix all kinds of things, but don't presume. So consider these things. How does a young man treat or talk about his mom? Does he communicate well? Does he communicate openly? Does he communicate honestly? Is he hiding things from her or speaking disrespectfully? Is he considerate with his shoes and his clothes? Is he thankful or demanding? Or does he take his mom for granted, if that's how a young man treats his mom? It's fairly good chance that eventually you'll be treated the same way. How does he treat or talk about his sisters? Is he respectful? Is he kind? How does a young man deal with authority? Does he get away with everything that he can? Or does he see authority and respect it and see it as protection? I need to say, I'm kind of glad that Rhonda didn't look at me too closely in some of these. But anyway, it is what it is now. So God can still adjust me, and he is and continues to work on it. Does he love to talk and laugh about what he got away with in regard to authority? Is he honest with his authority, with his mom? There is a big difference between not telling a lie, which most of us, we know that's, we don't want to tell a lie, but you can also make a lie by avoiding or shifting or just not answering or blaming others. So is he honest? Is he eager to get away from home, or does he like being there? Does he seek the company of godly friends, or does he like to hide away and be by himself? And more could be added, but those are just a few things. Those are all things that are very telling about a young man, and you have the opportunity, if you don't like the analysis of yourself, to change. To do it differently. This is part of success, is looking ahead and saying, who do I want to be and what can I start now to adjust so that I end up who I want to be. Don't wait till the skill or the habit or the attribute is needed to start. And now, not everybody, not every young man has a perfect home, perfect parents, or the perfect job, but if he doesn't, what's his attitude about those things? It's still possible to deal well with those types of things, even if they aren't perfect. And so there's some things to think about, and here, young men, are some things to look at in a young lady if you're interested. And again, this is kind of reverse information here. It's good for y'all to keep a checklist on yourself. Number one, how does she treat her dad and his authority in her life? Does she respect and trust her dad? Trust is earned, respect is given, I guess you could say. But how does a young lady treat her dad and look at his authority in her life? Often communication. Communication, you can pick that up. How does she treat her siblings? Does she listen carefully to what they have, listen carefully to what a young lady has to say about her siblings? Are they a bother to her? Is she bossy? Is she demanding? Is she kind? Maybe firm, caring? There's lots of things you can learn about a character of a young lady by observing how she interacts with her siblings. Are they a bother to her, or does she value them? Does a young lady seek attention? Does she need to be getting attention all the time? Is she constantly seeking attention, seeking friends? Does she have a serving heart? What is her attitude about housekeeping? And does she seek protection in godly authority? Does she listen or need to be heard? What is her reaction to teasing, jokes, and disappointments? Now, you don't have to try this one, but here's what somebody tried a long time ago. Daniel Boone was courting a young lady and thought he really liked her, but he did not want a young lady that would lose her temper. And so they were at a community gathering, and he realized that I forget what her name was, but she had a new apron. It was made from fabric that was extremely hard to get. And she had finally gotten this fabric. She had made a new apron. She was very happy to be wearing this apron. And Daniel said, I have to know. And so while he was sitting beside her, he took out his hunting knife and he cut a gash in her apron. And then he bumped her leg to make sure. And she looked down and her mouth got wide open. Her eyes got big. And he looked at her and she looked at him. And he said, you know what? I had to know if you would lose your temper. And she still wasn't happy, but she understood why he did it. And she passed the test. That thing he knew was very important to her. So how does a young lady react to teasing or jokes at their expense, which aren't kind for the most part, but they do happen and we can see reactions to it. How does she react to disappointments? It can be very telling about what life with her may be about. Again, we all need to grow up, so it doesn't mean that's exactly how a person is going to be. But there's just really good things to consider. And so, young ladies, if you're hearing those things said about you, you don't really like some aspect of maybe who you are or what the answer is to that, now's the time to start to change it. Now's the time to start. And to have that focus on becoming who you want to be. Not all young ladies have perfect circumstances, perfect families, perfect jobs, perfect situations, but what a good way to see what their attitude is about things they cannot control and cannot change. What is their attitude about that? So anyway, a lot more there that we could talk about. Those of us who are married, we're in circumstances that are set in stone, so to speak. We believe that they are, and how do we deal with those? How many young people here would want a spouse that you don't know where they are, or where they go, or what they do, or if they're faithful or not? And so I don't think there are many people that would raise their hands and say, me, I want someone like that. Not at all a picture of what we would like. And so if you don't want that kind of a spouse, the best thing to do is start being the kind of person you want to spend your life with. Start being that kind of person. So looking ahead, who are you going to be in the choices and the decisions that you're making? And is there a goal, a vision of what that is to look like? And then I just want to encourage you to jump in there and start working toward that goal. And those of us that are in that 50 range, I really am the only person that I can control what I do and what my attitudes are. I'm the only person that I can control. And we need to allow God to teach us how to thank Him, regardless of whether we think our circumstances are just what they should be or the people around us are doing just what they should do. I am the only one that I really can control. My choices, my actions, and my reactions, and therefore those things, when I control my attitude, they have a huge impact on the opportunities that I will have. So the encouragement to the young people is plan ahead. Who are you going to be? You don't know what life circumstances are going to be. You don't know what kind of curveballs, so to speak, are going to be thrown into your path. But purpose now to be the kind of person you want to be when you hit 50 or 75 or whatever it may be. Start working on being the dad, the mom, the spouse that you think is right. The right one, the right kind, and let God guide that. Don't wait and complain that life and people aren't fair. you can allow God to change you into his image and into the character of Jesus. That's the thing that I can do. I can allow God to change me into the image, into his image, and into the character of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 21, a verse that I would like to read here real quickly. Romans 1 and 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't let him be Lord and master of their life. So they knew God, but they didn't let him be God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So that speaks of a pattern of people that they know who God is, they know what God is asking for, but they don't allow God to be God. They don't honor him as God. And their path became a path of growing darkness. That is a warning to us to take the opportunities that we have and just think about what the Word has to say and the joyful expectation that we can have if we are truly seeking God's direction for our lives. It's not a thing of, oh boy, what am I going to have to endure to get to heaven? Yes, there are some things we have to go through, but allow the Word of God to shape a joyful expectation in your heart of the experience of serving God. And because he wants to do that. He wants to shape us so that we can be a success. And that doesn't mean that success is easy or always fun, but whatever place, whatever situation that I am, I have learned to be content because I believe that I am following God. And therefore, if I am following him, I am in his will. And that's the best place that I can ever be. May he receive the glory.